It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Hi, James. Are you there?
I am here.
How are you going?
Very good, thank you.
Good to hear. So last night, I believe, the Green Party launched the Tamaki Makaurau and Manurewa campaign. How was it?
Well, it was fantastic. Now, I actually didn't have the opportunity to go because I was down in Dunedin. But it was really well attended. There was a significant representation from Pacifica communities, which we haven't historically had a lot of kind of reach into. So that was really good to see. And they had a huge amount of fun. So, they really took it as a Pacifica launch and had more fun than you would normally have at a political party campaign launch.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was launched by Te Anau Tui Ono and Marama Davidson. And Mr. Tui Ono said that a party vote for the Greens is a vote for more Māori and Pacifica MPs in Parliament. And he said, and a vote to give us the influence to deliver for our people in government. Can you talk just a little bit about Māori and Pacifica representation in Parliament?
Well, so there are very few Pacifica MPs, and there are also very few Pacifica historically in the Green Party as well, and that is something that's been a particular focus of mine and of the Green Party over the course of the last couple of years, is to try and build those relationships and to bring in some really highly qualified Pacifica candidates, which we've got in Te Anau and also in Leilani Tamu, who was a Rhodes Scholar and a former diplomat. And so they are placed on our list in the top 20. And so the more party votes we get, the more MPs we get, and that means that we will have our first two Pacifica MPs. And that would actually significantly increase the number of Pacifica MPs in Parliament, because there's only actually about three or four at the moment.
Mm. And so this was the launch for Tamaki Makaurau and Manurewa. What are the major issues the Green Party are hearing from people in those electorates?
Well, I mean, this isn't going to surprise you, but the housing crisis is really at the top of everybody's radar there. And of course, a lot of people in those electorates rent, rather than buy. And of course, because house prices are so high, the idea of buying, which was always, out of reach, has become even more out of reach. But what's really affecting people is that there have been huge rises in the cost of rental accommodation. And so a lot of people in Tamaki Makaurau and Manurewa are, in the bottom kind of 30% of income earners. Many Pacifica are amongst the bottom 10% of income earners, and Pacifica people have the highest rate of unemployment in New Zealand. So these are people who, for the most part, do not have the resources or the options to kind of go wherever they can. And so they are living, multiple families to a house, many people in a room to save costs. And so that has huge challenges in terms of kind of health and well-being, education and so on.
And so if the Greens do get into power later on this year, how do you plan to improve those concerns for those people in those areas?
Well, there's a number of things, which in relation to rentals, we want to make sure that there's much better security of tenure. It's quite precarious being a renter, and at the moment, it really is a landlord's market. And they're able to both put up the rent, very frequently, and also to throw people out sort of at a whim. And there aren't that many places for people to move to either. So we want to, improve conditions around security of tenure. Also, we're really committed to the idea of a rental warrant of fitness. So we know that there are 40,000 visits to emergency rooms by young children every year. That is massively overrepresented in the Pacifica community, and that the reasons for that are respiratory illnesses that are relating to poor quality housing that people live in. There are 1,600 deaths in winter that don't occur in the other months of the year, and again, that is largely related to the quality of housing. And so what we're saying is, look, just in the same way that a rental car company has to have warrants of fitness on every car that they rent out, We want to make sure that landlords have a warrant of fitness on the quality of housing. If you want to be in this business and to provide that service to people, then you've got to make sure that the house that you rent out is fit for human habitation.
Absolutely. And the other thing we were going to talk about today, so Climate Change Minister Paula Bennett is in Suva today to join Pacific leaders and ministers at a Climate Action Pacific Partnership event in preparation for the Global Climate Change Ministerial Conference that Fiji is chairing in November. So I guess Paula Bennett was saying that New Zealand wants to explore the ways to take forward initiatives on smart agriculture, renewable energy, water security, and managing disaster risk. These are all things that the Greens has also kind of had a big stake in talking a lot about. What's the Greens' position on that?
Well, I mean, it's good to hear the minister talking about these things, but in the 2 years that she's been the minister, there's been a lot of really good talk, but not a whole lot of action. And so, you know, New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions have continued to climb, and they're up 20% since this government came to office. Actually, in agriculture, while she's talking about smart agriculture, emissions from the dairy sector alone have increased 86% in the term of this government. So, you know, you've got to match those words with action, and I have yet to see any substantive action from the minister or from this government on climate change.
I guess her response to that would be that she did announce $1.3 million to support Fiji's presidency of the COP23, but then also the $38 million in climate-related support to Pacific countries in 2015-16. Do you not see that as significant?
Well, it's been previously announced. Mm. So the government actually made the commitment in Paris 2 years ago for a substantial aid package to support Pacific Islands to adjust to the reality of climate change. This is simply the budget allocation of that for this financial year, so it's not new money. The other thing is that they really didn't do any, there wasn't any real new money even when they made the big announcement back around the time of the Paris Declaration, because what they did is they simply diverted aid money from one part of the budget into a part of the budget that's called climate change aid. And some of the categories that they use to describe this are pretty ropey, right? So one of the things that they've said is a climate change related project is to build a new road. And you can't really see how that's going to bring down greenhouse gas emissions or help them to adjust to the effects of climate change.
All right. So what would the Greens see to support these Pacific countries coping with climate change?
Well, I think there's a few things. First of all, and I think we talked about this a week or two ago, we've really got to get on top of what it means for Pacific Islanders who are displaced by rising seas. And, you know, we've said that we would start with a new humanitarian visa category for people displaced by rising seas. And initially that would be quite a low allocation, but we've really got to understand what it means for the future so that we're not kind of trying to make it up when there's a real crisis. And the second thing is that New Zealand actually has to bring down our own greenhouse gas emissions. I mean, we are the fifth highest emitter per head of population in the world. And so we're actually a part of the problem that is causing the seas to rise in the Pacific in the first place. So we're actually a part of the problem. And so we've actually got to take, you know, it isn't just about kind of helping the Pacific to install solar panels and things like that to bring down their own greenhouse gas emissions. We've also got to help them adapt to the very real effects that are already taking place in the Pacific.
Right. And just lastly, on Saturday, you apologised for a 2016 interview on immigration. Do you just want to give people some background about that if they didn't hear about that?
Yeah, sure. So we in the Greens have been really concerned for some time now that the whole debate around immigration has been dominated massively by sort of xenophobia and scapegoating and racism. And so last year, what we tried to do was to try and shift the terms of the debate by taking a more evidence-based approach. And so we did some research and kind of came out with some numbers. But the problem was, you know, when I did that, I did that without talking about the values and actually what are we trying to do here. It really did cause some angst in migrant communities in particular, the way that we did that. So I wanted to come out, and I had an opportunity to speak at the Federation of Multicultural Councils on Saturday morning, and so that was the ideal opportunity, really, to say, let's stop talking about numbers and so on, because when we do that, we just end up in the reeds. And what we really need to do is talk about our values and actually treating people not just as economic units there for our benefit or seen as some kind of threat to us, but as people who want to move here for a better life, just as all of our ancestors did.
So what does that evidence-based approach then look like in practice?
Well, we are actually reviewing our immigration policy. We've been doing that for some time, and we hope to say more about that sometime in the next few weeks. I think the point is that actually, we should try and escalate the debate out of the kind of usual rhetoric and the scapegoating that tends to occur, and to focus it on, first trying to win the debate around what are the values and the principles that we want to base our immigration policy on, and then have the conversation around, numbers and so on. And I think the most important thing is that, we need to sort of see migrants as people who are important not because of their economic value, but because they're human beings, like anybody else. And I think essentially the way that this government has been treating immigration is an extension of its economic policy rather than, a sort of in its own right.
All right, James, thank you. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Great. Thanks very much.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire. That